Tonight, the mists rise like the spirits of all the dead who sleep beneath the river's dark surface. The last tattered remnants of the afternoon's cloud cover dissipate through the treetops, and color returns to the world. I watch as the dense forest shifts from chrome yellow to a translucent saffron, and then slowly fades through ochre to umber to gloom. Aboard the Girondole, old Katie lights the lanterns and candle globes hanging from the sagging second tier, and, as if not to be outdone, the darkened jungle begins to glow with the faint phosphorescence of decay, while glowbirds and multi-hued gossamers can be seen floating from branch to branch in the darker upper regions. Hyperion's small moon is not visible tonight, but this world moves through more debris than is common for a planet so close to its sun, and the night skies are illuminated by frequent meteor showers. Tonight the heavens are especially fertile, and when we move on to wide sections of the river, we can see a tracery of brilliant meteor trails weaving the stars together. Their images burn the retina after a while, and I look down at the river only to see the same optic echo there in the dark waters. There is a bright glow on the eastern horizon, and old Katie tells me that this is from the orbital mirrors, which give light to a few of the larger plantations. It is too warm to return to my cabin. I spread my thin mat on the rooftop of my barge and watch the celestial light show, while clusters of indigenous families sing haunting songs in an argot I have not even tried to learn. I wonder about the Bikura. Still far away from here, and a strange anxiety rises in me. Somewhere in the forest, an animal screams with the voice of a frightened woman. Day 60. Arrived Paracebo Plantation. Sick. Day 62. Very ill. Fever. Fits of shaking. All yesterday I was vomiting black bile. The rain is deafening. At night the clouds are lit from above by orbital mirrors. The sky seems to be on fire. My fever is very high. A woman takes care of me, bathes me. Too sick to be ashamed. Her hair is darker than most indigenes. She says little. Dark, gentle eyes. Oh, God, to be sick so far from home. Day. She is waiting, spying. Comes in from the rain, the thin shirt. On purpose to tempt me. Knows what I am, my skin burning on fire, thin cotton nipples. Dark against it, I know who they are watching. Hear their voices at night. They bathe me in poison, burns me. They think I don't know, but I hear their voices above the rain when the screaming stops. Stop, stop. My skin is almost gone. Red underneath, can feel the hole in my cheek. When I find the bullet, I will spit it out. It out. Agnus Dei quitoli specta tamundi. Miserere nobis, misere nobis, miserere. Day 65. Thank you, dear Lord, for deliverance from illness. Day 66. Shaved today. Was able to make it to the shower. Sempha helped me prepare for the administrator's visit. I expected him to be one of the large, gruff types I have seen out the window, working in the sorting compound. But he was a quiet black man with a slight lisp. He was most helpful. I had been concerned about paying for my medical care, but he reassured me that there would be no charge. Even better, he will assign a man to lead me into the high country. He says it is late in the season, but if I can travel, in 10 days we should be able to make it through the flame forest to the cleft before the Tesla trees are fully active. After he left, I sat and talked to Sempha a bit. Her husband died here 3 local months ago in a harvesting accident. Sempha herself had come from Port Romance. Her marriage to Michael had been a salvation for her, and she has chosen to stay on here doing odd jobs rather than go back downriver. I do not blame her. After a massage, I will sleep. Many dreams about my mother recently. 10 days. I will be ready in 10 days.